Well, hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Live Reading Bonanza. I think this is actually the last episode for the next little while. For those of you who don't know me, you actually probably saw me on episode one. I was here as an astrologer. Today, I'm here as your host. I'm Joe G, podcast producer for Astrology Hub, and also an astrologer at Astrologer Connect. And I'm here with Gemini Brett and Cameron Allen. And so if this is your first time tuning in, basically what we've been doing for the last three Wednesdays is that we're gathering your questions in the comments and we're answering them live. Like, you're basically having a free reading with both amazing astrologers, Brett and Cameron. And for those of you who don't know them, I'll read you their bio really quick. So Cameron is a professional astrologer, herbalist, health consultant. He has formal education from the School of Evolutionary Astrology and Evolutionary Herbalism. He's currently working on a 200-hour RYT and Kundalini Yoga from Delta Groove Yoga and training to become an Ayurvedic practitioner. He's involved in several organizations, co-founder of the Memphis Black Healers Collective. He's a member of ESAR and a member of Fit Organics. And the list goes on. I'm not even going to read the whole bio because it keeps going. And for Brett, also a very extensive bio, but I'll also summarize it a little bit. Brett won the 2020 Orion Award for Outstanding Contribution to Astrology. He's been practicing astrology for over a decade. He's founder of the Earthstrology Astrology School. He has taught many courses with Astrology Hub and other renowned astrology schools, such as Kepler and OPA. And he's the president of NCGR San Francisco. And also NIC guide many times and yet again this year. So get excited, guys.
I am excited. I'll do what I can. It's good to see you, Joji. Cameron, it's so good to see you as well.
Always. Yeah, of course. And for those of you in the comments, I don't know if you guys know about this yet, but usually every Wednesday we're sticking to a theme. So today we're answering questions about wellness, travel, and career. So we'll try to prioritize those questions in the comments, but if any other question comes up and we have the time, we might actually get to them too. And I think we already have some questions set aside that some of you guys have sent us already. Who would like to go first?
I'll dive in. So in response to Linda, it says you just recently celebrated your 70th with your twin in Sedona. So amazing. And what a super cool place to be for your birthdays. And the question is, I feel like I am at the precipice of a huge spiritual transformation. What do I do? And Cameron, I would love for you to also add to this after I kind of share a few, if you're cool with that. Linda, I love that you were in Sedona, not only because Sedona is amazing, but because, as you know, you were born right around full moon time. And in the middle of the night, but in Sedona, it was like actually the middle of the night. It's the sun at the IC, at the roots down beneath the ground. And so, of course, that means dark skies. And so this big, beautiful, near full moon to which you were born would have been shining very high in the Sedona sky, especially. And so I love that you were able to be there and to be there with your twin for this great journey. I mean, again, this is kind of a general question. I think, you know, as you state, like, you're on the precipice of a huge spiritual transformation. And of course, when we're on the precipice of something, it's hard to be specific, right? Like, the whole point of it is we don't know exactly what's coming in. There's a few things I'll say just from looking at timing techniques. Besides just generally, my answer is listen and be with nature. Be outside, engaged with earth, look for her messengers, you know, for the birds and the animals that might walk by when you're out on a hike, whatever that may be. Listen to the night, listen to the ocean, engage with the stars, not just in charts, but outside of the big screen of the living sky. Like, that's always good advice for all earthlings, but especially when you feel that precipice of the huge transformation, what do I do? Like, get out and listen, and also get in and listen. Right. So the more that we can kind of turn down the distractions and put an axe in the television and just really listen to our heart, so we are available to receive the whispers, right, from higher self or spirit or whatever that is, with clearer directions. And some of the timing techniques all employer right now on what's called the 11th house annual profection. This is true for all of us at the turning 70. And the 11th is a place of community, circles, groups, traditionally the good spirit, the good daimon, and hopes and dreams, really importantly. So one thing I would really encourage you to meditate upon is, what are your dreams for this world? For your time, like for this year, for the decades ahead, and perhaps for the generations ahead as well. And really allow yourself to dream big and kind of reclaim the power of that vision with no need for expectations of how it might come through. Scorpio is the 11th whole sign of the Capricorn design to which you were born. And I look to Mars kind of as a traditionalist in Scorpio years. And Mars in your nativity is in the fort, so a place of like roots and ancestry. And so listening to the land again, and maybe even going back, especially during this Mercury retrograde time, like as I'm speaking, Mercury is just kind of dancing with your Mars degree. So there's something about going back into your youth, into your ancestry, into your lineage, and kind of, I don't know, see what their dreams would have been. Like contemplate that, and I think put your hand on your heart and see how you're part of that vision, part of that dream. And otherwise, Mars in Taurus is in your fifth whole sign, and that's a place of art and passion. And so I would really encourage you to work artistically. This is one of the ways that we can kind of get the monkey mind out of the way and just let the body kind of put us in the right space to receive the vision, to see what our own personal higher wisdom has to say. So if fine arts are available to you, painting, like watercolors feel really appropriate with Saturn, who's said to be the steersman of your chart now in Pisces. Like, yeah, watercolor paintings or just painting by the ocean, or getting to the beach and creating mandalas with seashells and other found things. Collage is a really wonderful kung fu as well. At times of like knowing that we're on the precipice of something, but where do we go? I'll just say in the end here, and then open it up to Cameron, if you'd like to share, Cameron, that there's been like some really strong alignments for you and for your twin, Linda. And some of them are still alive. I'm specifically speaking about all the planets in Capricorn, kind of 2020, Pluto very recently at your ascendant, which will very much kind of call for a change in your forward direction. And Pluto maintains a really strong alignment to the place where Venus was in your nativity. And so some of that, I think it just wants to evolve love, your relating, your connection, and also the art. So there's, I think it's a wonderful time actually to go do like a group that's 11th house art class. And I think that what comes through your paintbrush or your pen in the poetry or whatever it may be is going to really help you get a vision from yourself of where to be next.
Beautiful. I love all that. And I would just echo the going backwards to go forward kind of energy, because here we see that the last eclipse that we just had is right on top of the Venus, and the Venus is retrograde, right? And so it's like that is activating the invitation to go inward and review your relationship with the ancestors. Like Brett was saying, you know, the fourth house represents our roots and where we came from. And so your relationship with yourself moving forward, how is that working with your relationship with the ancestors going backwards? And then also just noting that the nodes are going to be soon coming to that Saturn as well. And that's going to be the south node coming to the Saturn. And so again, something talking about old traditions, and then going to the background and see like what was going on there. Maybe what was stagnant in the relational dynamic with the family, in attuning to that. Also from an evolutionary astrology perspective, with Pluto in the first house, you know, Pluto was going through your 12th house for so long. And so that is about the soul, the deep self, or all the emotional and psychological attachments that you've had throughout your life needing to be dissolved and let go of. Well, when you let go of everything, you have nothing left but the present moment. So what do we do in times of spiritual transformation? We get present, we discontinue projecting too far forward into the future, and then we just stay in the moment, in the moment. And from that place, all the things you have let go of, I'm sure you still learn things from that. And so allowing yourself to flow and move forward from that perspective. So that's what I would say.
Awesome, guys. I would love to hear from Linda if that's resonating at all. How are you feeling about this? It really helps us gauge how we're doing. But do we want to move to the next chart?
Yeah, let's do it.
And Linda said, this is powerful. Letting go is what I have felt I need to do. So we're right on track there. And just for you guys who are wondering if you can actually get a reading with Gemini, Brett, and Cameron, of course you can do. Over here, you can try your luck and see if we're going to answer your questions for free. But you can also book a reading with both of them at Astrologer Connect. And right now, if you guys don't know, throughout all of April, if you book a reading and use the code APRIL20, you actually get 20% off any reading that you book. So even if you are booking a reading all the way out in 2025, you're still going to get your 20% off. So, all right, with that, let's get to our next question. Let me see if I can pull it over here. It was Matilda. Mm-hmm. So Matilda is in the middle of a new health problem and old wealth problem. She's made some big good changes since March 21st, but had a scary thing happening April 15th. Matilda, Amsterdam, Netherlands. All right.
Yeah, absolutely. And so from the perspective of this going on here, so we saw that the eclipse, again, is like highlighted here, and the eclipse was opposite the Venus. And so I'm assuming that something's going on with that. But not only that, the moon in the 12th house, you know, it's in conjunction with the sun. And so this could bring potential issues around stagnation and constipation. They're both in water signs. So it's an out of sign in conjunction. But having these two highlighted means that something about the lymphatic system might be an issue. And also something with the colon or the bowels, or like this feeling of stagnation and lack of ability to let go, right? Because when our colon's full of doo-doo, right? Sometimes it's like talking about our emotional state. We're just kind of emotionally constipated, and that also connects to like our bowels. And so this can create issues with that. Like I was saying before, there's like many other techniques that I use to see like what's going on right now. So by looking at the chart natally, it doesn't always express itself fully about what's going on right now, but that's what I would say to begin with. And I'm curious, Matilda, what's going on? Because if you say a little more, then maybe I can give you more insights on what's going on here. But one thing I can say, if you are able in your body currently, there's one little practice I'll show you that could be really good for moving the lymphatic system and also the colon. And so all you do is, well, I'll show you the more ideal version of it, and then I'll show you the slowed down version of it, and then you can give me a reflection and let me know. So to press on the bowels and the colon, we stand up straight, and then we just come down to the left, to the right side of the ankle, and then we come back up, and then we come back down. If you notice, every time I'm going down, I'm squeezing and pressing on the sides of my body, which is allowing the digestive system to churn a bit, right? So I come down here, I'm squeezing over here. I come down the other side, I'm squeezing on this side. So it's really allowing the digestive process to accelerate. Also, if that doesn't feel good to your body, you can also just take your hands and begin to slide them down. And that'll do the same thing. And just focus on the sides of the body so that the digestive tract can move more. Also with the lymphatic system, something super simple that we can do. You don't have to sit in this posture if it's not comfortable for you. But we literally just hit the body so that the energy can start moving with circulation. Oftentimes, when it comes to circulation and stagnation, we think of like getting the cardiovascular system moving, and we think of cardio as in like go and stretch yourself out on a bike or something. But really, you can get the energy to move by simply just tapping on your body, just getting it to wake up. And also, if there's an emotional stagnancy, when you do that, energy just gets moving. And we have to remember, energy in motion is emotion. Right. So we have to get that moving. So that's what I'll say and stop there for now before I go into a whole embodiment practice tutorial.
I mean, I think we would all love a tutorial. But I actually do have a question for you, Cameron. If somebody is looking to get like a health focused reading with you, like what are some things that they can do to prepare themselves before going into a reading also?
Yeah, absolutely. My favorite thing is when people have all the things that they're already currently ingesting daily. So like if there's supplements, if that's medication, just having that. If you have medical history, that's also very helpful. And if you have like specific dates and times that specific issues have a tendency to keep popping up, you know, that's something that's really helpful as well. Always bring a notebook too, because even though you'll get the recording, it's good to just write certain things down that stick out to you, because I always like to give really practical, grounded ways of beginning to move forward in the process. And also being mindful, since I'm learning in the Ayurvedic tradition, that the reading in of itself is part of the consultation, and also the remedies that are given are part of the consultation. So oftentimes we're understand, like in our current model of medicine, someone gives a remedy and we think, oh, this is it. Well, really, how you experience that remedy is also a part of the consultation. It's a part of the learning process to be able to understand. So also knowing that coming in can be super helpful. Great question. Appreciate you.
Right. Of course. Sweet. And with that, I think we're probably ready for our next chart. If Brett is here, and he is. So next question, I think we are going to be talking about Valina's chart. Valina says, I feel completely lost regarding my career. My calling of the past many years no longer resonates. I'm trying to find a new direction, but feel so confused. What do I do? Brett?
Well, listen to yourself. I think it's brilliant that you know that where you've been isn't the thing anymore. I will always advise to make sure you take away what was meant for you there, right? I mean, we can have like just specific resume padding. Like, let's say I was in marketing, but I know it's not for me. Well, still, you know, you learned how to do marketing, and that can apply in so many different places, right? But also like the big takeaway, and sometimes it's not something that finds its way to the resume. Sometimes it's that you learned how to deal with, oh, annoying coworkers, or you learn to open up, and you learn that in sharing things that you didn't think were supposed to be in the professional space, that you made deeper connections. It's hard to say. So that's one thing I always recommend. Another just kind of fun play, like astrology aside, is look at everything you've done since, you know, the lemonade stand or the paper route or whatever, and really kind of write down, you know, like the name of the job and then a principle takeaway. And I like taking those like kind of scraps of paper and just tossing them up in the air and then like reorganizing them and reading them. And it tends to speak of these different talents that you have and skills you have developed. And we start, I don't know, smelling different like visions for places where all of these things could come together and kind of a celebration of all that we are. As far as the chart goes, and just want to make sure that I cast it right. So I'm trying to find your original post. So I'm just going to have faith picked in what I originally typed. But there's two places where I begin my investigations in regards to vocation, or, you know, how to make a living. The answer to any question is found by looking at the entire chart. But where we begin our investigation will have so much to do with the inquiry, right? So when someone speaks to me about relationship, I'm going to look at the seventh house. And that kind of starts my journey, which like every question should lead to the whole chart. When somebody asks about career like this, I'm going to look to the 10th house. But there are many house systems. And Valina, you, like me and many others, have the midheaven in a sign other than the 10th whole sign. It's not the highest part of your chart. And so I work with the midheaven degree and also the highest part of your chart. The signs for those respectively are Aries and Taurus. Now, Venus, who represents the Taurus 10th house for you, living in the kind of ninth house but eighth whole sign, depending on how we do house systems, really speaks to me. And in the sign of Pisces, where she's said to be exalted or an honored guest, this kind of like compassionate guide who also has a love for, oh, the occult and the image of death and rebirth. And that's kind of alive for you through a really strong Pluto transit at this time too. Pluto's transiting your descendant and looking at your ascendant. That transit, in my point of view, probably wants to help you completely evolve your relationship to relationship itself. And this isn't just with like significant other, intimate others, you know. I mean, in a sense, we say anyone you get in bed with, right? So certainly this includes business partnerships as well. And I wonder if there is a potential partnership opening up for you in business. And I mean, I'd love to hear that's kind of in your vision at all at this time. When I look to Mars in Virgo, the way I do what's called derived houses, he's in this sixth of the midheaven sign. And that really looks like health. I mean, Mars in Virgo, there's kind of the yogini there. And somebody who's really, I mean, I, you know, I'm kind of seeing what Cameron does here. Like, you know, Cameron's steeped in so many different astrological and mystical traditions, but he's such a yogi and a health practitioner. Valina, there's something in that in your chart. There's something in this kind of compassionate awakener is like a phrase that I hear when I tune into the vocational images in your chart. And the compassion is such a big piece of this. It's like Venus ruling the 10th, Moon trine midheaven, Neptune to a lesser extent as well, Chiron in the 10th house. You really feel to me like a spiritual guide, like perhaps an astrologer, which I could see totally making sense for you. And that there's this embodied, like, get out in nature, get into your body health focus that I see in the chart as well. So after that, you know, this is typically I'm sitting with somebody, I get to ask all these questions and hear a response, and that helps me go where I go next. But just looking at a few basic things in the chart, those all seem to be really significant indications for the superpowers you have for expressing in your work. And I think that the Saturn transit to your Mars, so opposite your Mars, which is kind of like late this year and into next year, and then Saturn transiting your Venus, I think these are actually both going to be really solid opportunities for you to ground like the vision of your calling into your reality. So you're not just making a living, you're making a loving, as I like to say. You're currently in the ninth house year. So this will sound a little bit redundant to what I had said before, but it's kind of receiving the vision. And next year, I imagine if you act upon that, you're really going to find success in this new career that's calling you towards it now.
Right. And Valina just said, wow, I have been a humanitarian analyst and advisor, and I am now training in medical herbalism. So you're right on track.
Brilliant. Yeah. I mean, I would really recommend actually connecting with Cameron about that, just for looking at kind of basic ways where you can take this love for astrology and add it to that path, because it can just, you know, with astrology can sometimes just accelerate our opportunity to see quickly. And Cameron's a great person. I mean, the best person I can recommend to speak about that.
And I just also wanted to follow up on, I think it was Matilda something. And she said, so for those of you who are just listening, Matilda something asked a question about health. And she said, actually, my bowels have been feeling really good. I made some changes with my food and quitting alcohol and smoking weed. And I actually had a problem with my brains, or my question is concerning my brains. So, Cameron, do you have any thoughts about that?
Yeah, totally. And this is something that I saw, too, with the transits. And that's why I was specifically stating about looking at the natal chart. But the South Node's been going over Neptune and it's going over the sun. And it's also really close to Jupiter. So the South Node going over Neptune, you know, it's like that just can create one of my teachers in Renaissance astrology, Michael A. Bryan. He says that there's a few toilet bowls of the zodiac, and Neptune and the South Node are each a toilet bowl. So it's like mental fog can like fall upon us with that. And whenever it comes to mental fog, the first thing I always work with is the orifices in people's heads, right? And so what I really get people to do is learn, and I teach them the different techniques around opening things up around the ears, around the nose, around the eyes, because there's a lot of lymph in our head that doesn't circulate through our body very often. right? And so in our culture too, these days, it's just like things tend to slow down a lot. And it also has to do with the neck a little bit, which is the opposite of Taurus. I mean, so Scorpio, it's all these things are going on in Scorpio, and the opposite of that is Taurus. So just really being able to like move the limb from the main frame of the body all up into the head to get rid of the stagnation that can accumulate in the head. There's also things that I give like nose oil, ear oil, eye oils and stuff like that if people are comfortable with it. So that's what I would say, that I would need to know way more about this, because when it comes to the brain, it's like I get very particular. Also, if you're not taking omega-3s, that might be a good idea. Always go see your primary health care physician. Disclaimer here. Yeah. So that's what I would say start out with. Also, there's practices to make sure that we're getting the proper oxygenation to the head as well. So that would be something that we need much more depth to touch on to see what we need to do there. But the south node going over Neptune can always bring the sense of mental fog. And the moon also is in conjunction with the sun. And so that can also bring this crisis having to do with the energy in my brain and how it is flowing, where it's not in the vitality that it has. So, yeah.
Right. Sweet. Thanks so much.
Absolutely.
I also wanted to address a comment that is totally unrelated, but but Kristen says, loving this stash, Joe. And the reason why I want to address that is that it was a total accident. And it's actually a story of electional astrology working, because they usually say you should not cut your hair. And I guess it extends to your beard whenever the moon is applying to Mars. And of course, yesterday we had a moon Mars conjunction and I decided to cut my beard and it went totally wrong. Hence why there's a mustache now. So election astrology works, guys. Listen to it sometimes. It's a good idea. Oh, man. On another note, Brett, do you have a chart ready?
I do. Yeah, I cast Bergen's chart. Because I'm born October 24th and she's born October 25th.
Oh, there you go.
She lives in Toronto near you, Joe, and I couldn't pass on the synchronicities.
It is actually pretty wild.
And you know, I'm saying I'm not exactly sure here either. That feels right. But I also want to say there's a couple of folks here, actually Amanda's folks are tuning in from what I understand. And I want to say,
yeah, hey, I haven't seen them around yet.
Oh, okay. Well, in the future or the past or wherever, I celebrate you for supporting your kid in this amazing adventure, even though we all speak a language that is foreign to me. Anya. Right. All right. So Bergen writes, you guys rocked, retired 12 months ago. That rocks, Bergen. Congratulations. Post-career, where shall I focus? Worried about Saturn in Pisces, where my natal Mars is 15 degrees. And Pluto as well. It's weird. I mean, I was talking Pluto a lot today, but with the sun in the first degrees of Scorpio, where we've seen a solar eclipse actually in October, and this recent eclipse in April on the last degree of Aries, somewhat close to the sun. And for me, looking at the sun in the fifth whole sign, there's something about just go have fun. And with Saturn in the ninth, Mars in the ninth of your chart, Saturn now preparing to transit, although it'll be a bit, it's more like next year. You are having Saturn square Saturn though, Bergen, with Saturn in the very early degrees of Sagittarius in your nativity. So, I mean, these aren't transits to sleep on, but I think that, I don't know, they probably want to celebrate your retirement as much as you. So if you have the means, and I hope you will, what I would say more than anything else is go travel, go journey somewhere. The ninth house Mars, there's an adventure in that. In Pisces, like take to the seas, your Cancer rising with the moon just coming up on the horizon at the time of your birth. There's strong energy in the third and the ninth. You just look like a journey agent. And I think part of the Saturn in Sagittarius energetic, it's like, oh, looking for the old riddles in the stone circles and pyramid sites. I'm projecting many of my own interests there, so I don't know that they are yours, but I think finding places that resonate with your ancestry, you know, places that you personally have been called to, this would be a really cool time, Bergen, to look at the maps. And, you know, I'm just going to open one real quick, and I want to follow Mars, actually, since that's a planet that you asked about, and I think Saturn's transit to Mars can actually open up some opportunity for Mars to, now that you're retired and have some energy, to take you to another place. So I'm just going to look at a place where Mars was rising when you were born, and that includes like Australia, Papua New Guinea, Japan is not far away. Those are places that would really excite me. And another one is actually not very far from where you are right now. Mars was culminating when you were born. Venus was at the IC with Jupiter. Down through, well, through like Winnipeg and down through like, oh, Austin. But there's spaces in Mexico City, and a place where I'm just seeing in your maps. I'm going to look at one other thing as long as it's in front of my eyes. Yeah, here's the place to go. Palenque, the burial place of Lord Bacall, which is amazing and beautiful. I can give you some tips if you do choose to go there about like where to fly into and places to stop on your way. But it is such a beautiful sacred site, a Mayan site in the jungles of Mexico. And it's like there's so much in your birth maps, your astro maps, that kind of point to that place. So where I think you shall focus is have a journey, have many journeys. I wouldn't worry so much about these strong transits. I would utilize them to kind of explore interests of yours and see how that changes you.
Awesome. Bergen, I'd love to hear any thoughts that you might have about this, but I think I saw a couple comments. Bergen says, woohoo, let's have some fun then. Maybe I'll go to France. And they also say, she also says, I have found many stone circles near where I live, wellstone mounds and ley lines, loving the mystery.
Beautiful. Yeah, let me just speak to that because I see that in your chart in really significant ways, Bergen, like the strength of the mutable signs in your chart and the strength of like the third, sixth, ninth, at least by whole sign houses, like really speaks to this kind of spiritual quest for wisdom in the land itself. So I'm not at all surprised that the stone circles and the lines have shown themselves to you. France is interesting. I'm just looking at your map really quick. It kind of really speaks of significant change. I like Spain and Ireland, maybe a little more just in the maps itself. But I would like, if we are sitting in session, I'll also progress the map and change things through times as well. But I do wonder if Palenque is interesting to you at all, because it's just like, it's a go there. And I think the Saturn square Saturn, it's like, if you look back to your Saturn return 7 years ago, which also brings the fifth Jupiter return, there was a seed planted then that is now sprouting. And so if you had really clear visions about, especially about like a place that you'd like to go, and maybe felt like you were just trapped by work and life and responsibility and there was no way, like that's where I would set the controls for at this time.
Yeah. And Bergen says, yes, this is so true. I am on a spiritual quest. Spain and Ireland work very well for me too. And she also says, yes, 7 years ago, I was fired, then went into healthcare. There we go.
Intriguing. All right. Well, again, congrats on your retirement and safe travels, and send us a postcard or six.
Awesome. All right. Cameron, you have a chart for us as well?
Yeah, I made it. Let's do it.
Cool. Actually, just before we go into the next chart, just a reminder for everybody that you can book a full-on reading with both Brett and Cameron. I even got some of the people that were on the last live reach out to me also just as a follow-up. So if you get your answers over here, you can also book a follow-up reading to really look at things in depth. And to do that, you just have to go to astrologyhub.com/connect. And again, every reading that is booked within April using the code April20 actually gets you a 20% off discount. So book your readings, guys. Also, if you want to go straight to Brett's page, you can go to astrologyhub.com/Brett Connect. And if you want to go to Cameron's page, you can go to astrologyhub.com/Cameron Connect, and you'll find them both there.
Thank you, Joe. Cameron. Yeah. So this one is for Jane. And Jane said that she's moving from traditional nutrition to medical intuitive herbalist. And so I thought this was really interesting and curious because there is something going on this year. And so what's happening is that you're in what's called an eighth house year using the technique called the turning of the years, or some people call it annual perfections. Most people call it annual perfections. And so just to give a synopsis, most of the time when people do annual perfections, they're perfecting from the ascendant. I perfect in different places, blah, blah, blah. But when we think about or we look at the career, when we perfect to the eighth house of the career, we go into the sixth house. And the sixth house has to do with being of service. And obviously you are already being of service, having to do with nutrition. But something about this here just like has a different flavor to it, right? And so I would really invite you to look at how you've been doing traditional nutrition and how you might have been looking at science and biochemistry and stuff like that, or proteins and blah, blah, and like just not necessarily put that down fully, but go out into nature and begin to allow nature to reorganize your understanding and your intelligence around how to be of service to people moving forward this year. I think that's a really big thing. Also, something that's coming up in your next birthday is that when we perfect from the ascendant, the direction of your life is going towards the ninth place or the ninth house. Now, a lot of times people say the ninth house is about beliefs, religion, and things like this, which can be true, especially if we're using the context of where we're at currently in society. But before we had religions, before we made up whatever we wanted to believe about reality, reality already existed. And since reality already existed, this is a deep invitation to go into, again, natural law and allow yourself to intuitively begin to understand deeper the nature of nature and how nature is your nature. And so I would really feel into it from that perspective when it comes to making this transition. And if you have any follow-up questions, just feel free to put it in the comment section or reach out to me and we can get down to the nitty-gritty of it. So that's what I was saying.
Awesome. I do have a question about this. Like, yes. What is intuitive herbalism for people who might not know how that works?
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting thing to call it because I wouldn't necessarily know how to define it better than Jane would, because I've talked to many people. I've talked to many herbalists, and a lot of people say medical intuitive herbalists, and maybe they're saying they intuitively know what plants to get. But also there's some people who are like, and they don't always connect it to being an herbalist, but a medical intuitive. And like my partner kind of has some of these qualities. She can walk up to somebody and be like, what's been going on with their left hip? You know, or it's like, hey, like I'm feeling something in your heart. There's like no need for, well, I'm not gonna say no need. They don't need to like look at any blood test or anything like that. They intuitively already can feel and or know what's going on with the person's body, right? And that's not to say that they don't follow up and do their due diligence, but they kind of intuitively already know. So I'm projecting and assuming, and I'm going to own that, that that is what she's talking about here, that she can intuitively know what's going on with the person and then also intuitively know what herbs will be helpful for that person to build the relationship and connection between the plant, the person, and the organ system to create more harmony and unison in the individual for their well-being.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Cameron. And I'd love to hear from Jane herself if she's still in the audience, if she has any thoughts she would like to share. I see that Brett also has a couple charts ready. How about we go with Kristen?
All right. Yeah, what I read is, what am I supposed to be when I grow up? Well, Gemini Sun, don't grow up. Leo rising Gemini Sun, just never grow up, first of all. But what should you do to make a loving, if we can ask that question? I think you are right on it. I'm reading you have a strong desire to deserve, but impassioned for psych, specifically ancestral trauma, right? I mean, you were born at this amazing time when Saturn and Pluto were conjoined. And these are powerful planets, and it's much more so when those planets are aligned to personal planets in the nativity, and also, and perhaps especially to the angles of the chart. And that's both happening when you were born, as you know, Venus in Cancer in your 12th house squaring those two who are right at the IC, like right at the root. So that image of kind of ancestral trauma and realignment to find balance is a big piece of this. With Venus ruling the whole sign 10th from the 12th in the sign of Cancer, there's a beautiful expression about this caring, this nurturing that you offer, and in tension with that image of kind of ancestral trauma, the things from the tomb and the womb and the youth and that which is suppressed and buried, this kind of tension that will blossom through caring, that will help you serve as an awakening agent to help bring people back into calm and peace and like out of the, you know, the wild waves of the nervous system when we're in trauma response or post-trauma, that, right? Not speaking so well. I could use your help. Anyway, another piece of your chart is Aries Midheaven, and Mars is Cassini with the sun. They're in the 11th. And I really love that image for group work. Just given the nature of Gemini in general and the 11th house. And so Mars rules the midheaven degree, but Venus, the 10th whole sign, you have a really strong Neptune trine to your midheaven from the 5th, which looks probably like working with kids and working with artistically, whether with kids or adults. And I think the last thing I would share here, just kind of clear symbols in the nativity. And not only are you born in kind of like the eclipse window, which is another piece of this, but Venus and Mars were both out of bounds when you were born. They're both north of the Tropic of Cancer in a place where the sun could never go. And they're parallel. And they're just going to support you together. It's almost like the ability to, I think not forcefully, but to like speak the awakening words that, and through the Martian tongue that can sometimes agitate, I think, usefully. It's interesting to see that you used to teach in preschool. I just saw that pop up. But Venus, she's really wanting to work with the hidden realms and the things like the 4th, where you have strong connections as well. That's kind of like the things that we suppress because we're just not allowed to speak about it. The 12th is more like things that we don't even remember because we've suppressed them so significantly. So I feel like you are spot on. The 5th house years, which is 40, are times for like great passion and creativity and kind of just finding that joy and doing what you love. With Jupiter and Uranus there, there's another image of journeying into the trauma to find a beautiful like evolution or revolution or reclamation of self and spirit on the other side. And 40 is a huge time for Venus. Look at your 40th solar return and you'll see how Venus was aligned also by phase. This happens every 8 years. It's actually what I'll be teaching about in the inner circle this August, this Leo lunation, and something that I know Sam Reynolds just taught to the inner circle as well. So I read that you're a shadow worker. I feel that in the Mars behind the sun, under the beams, combust, but Cassini, I feel that in that, Saturn-Pluto conjunction right down at the IC with Venus in the 12th on the square. But there does feel to me like this joy, this Venusian essence, this Gemini nature, your Leo rising. I'll say that you're learning to be a child yourself and playful and young. And so while I'm not in any way suggesting you shouldn't do the shadow work, like this is your calling, I see it all over the place. But remember, the whole reason to do that is to bring life and life and play and games and art. This is all meant to be part of it. So I think you're totally on the right track. And I think it's a really wonderful time for you to kind of create a space, maybe launch a website, put up a YouTube channel or something, start speaking about these things and call the people to you who resonate with your medicine.
Yeah, Kristen is saying yes. But a big sigh. Oh my God. And we also heard back from Jane, who asked the question about intuitive herbalism. And she says, I live in a forest on the side of the mountain next to the waterfalls. I've been letting the mountains talk to me. And she also says, I'm also taking classes in mediumship. I always get messages about my clients. I can see genetic issues too. And she also says, I'm scientifically trained, but feeling much more inclined to use my psychic abilities.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Always, like, with anyone who's intuitive, just always my invitation is use the intuition first and then organize it with the information that we get from other things, right? It's like those two things belong together. You know, in this time of like great polarization, sometimes we're like, well, I'm just going to be intuitive, or I'm just going to be this, you know, the infusion of the two actually is the most logical thing that you can do. Oh, they rhymed. That was cool. I liked it.
Yeah. Yes. Sigh.
And Kristen also just sent us another comment. Real quick, I see my Leo rising, but why am I terrified to put myself out there? And maybe that can be a question for both Cameron and Brad.
Yeah, my response to that, and Cameron, I don't know if you cast that chart, it's Leo rising.
I got it.
Okay, cool. My response to that is it's kind of different in the way that many modern paradigms approach the ascendant. I see the ascendant according to the kind of the old terms of it is the horoscope, it's the hour marker, that it is the oyox, it is the rudder of your chart. I say what's rising when you rose is rising within you. That Leo is what you are here to learn. In other words, this means you don't know so much about it right now. And look, we're up against a lot when we observe, why should you want to Leo? When we read these books that say Leo needs the stage and Leo needs the spotlight, and the whole thing sounds quite arrogant, but truly the stage needs Leo. This is about opening into your own radiance, your honor, your royalty, right? I mean, it's not, you know, those words are tricky too, because we have such terrible examples of royalty and celebrity, but it's just being that spotlight, stepping into a place of love for yourself on your path that just radiates energy and heat so that the flowers around you can blossom in the light of your presence. With the sun in the 11th and with Mars, we really want to be active, like, you know, and in groups, the 11th place, like kind of social connection. So one thing I didn't share before, Kristen, in regards to your vocation, like I really could see family constellation work, astro drama, group work as a huge piece of what you do. I mean, it kind of sounds like a preschool, you know, but in preschool, you're like so busy trying to herd the wild ones. And this really feels like kind of, I don't know. I hesitate to say leader, because I understand Leo's like a word that doesn't feel right yet, but it's just like walking in your light and setting a beautiful and honorable example for others.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. I love that. Yeah. And so I'll just, the way you described the rising sign, the ascendant, that was beautiful. I echo that times five. Absolutely. Also, something else that I was seeing here is that, just thinking about the midheaven being in Aries and then that also being connected to the fourth place. And you were speaking about the ancestors, the ancestral trauma and stuff like that. And so I think that's a really big thing. And then also it's like, that is like what's hidden in the background in the way that you want to express yourself. And anytime that we're working with the ancestors, there's always going to be a community and group. And so I just want to invite you to bring that perspective in, that working with ancestors or people's ancestors, or even your ancestors, is always going to be communities, groups. And then also the 11th place is the house of the good spirit. And so that also being brought in here, because you already said something about the ancestral trauma work, and that just like lands really nicely from my perspective. Also a reason why you might not want to express yourself and you feel terrified in a sense might be because the sun is with Mars, and that can bring a little like a deer in headlight kind of feeling to it sometimes, but that is needing to be purified throughout the process of your life. And so for me, I would say that is an invitation, right? And it's not saying, why am I terrified? It's like, how can I sink into this to empower myself? And honestly, when Mars is right there, and then also something that's really highlighted is Uranus is opposite it, which can also make us feel like we're kind of fragmenting from ourselves. It's like, how can you in this life discontinue the search for feeling safe? Because the feeling of looking for safety is the feeling of not having safety. So I'm not saying that you shouldn't be safe, but I would invite you to remove yourself from the desire to just be safe and maybe think about why you don't feel comfortable doing it, right? And then start to unpack that difference. I think it's a really important thing. And I've been talking to a lot of people about lately, but I definitely think the ancestral thing is huge. And also maybe that's why it's not that comfortable, and it might be terrifying to go into the practice of working with the ancestors. I don't know what conditioning you've had growing up, but I live in the South. And so for somebody being living in Georgia or being born in Georgia, I'm assuming the conditioning could be, yeah, exactly. Yeah, shed my fears of others' opinions. Right, exactly. That's what I'm feeling here. It's like needing to take a step away from other people's projections and just like sinking into, actually, there is no safety out there for me when it comes to this specific thing that I desire because I'm outside of the social norms. So if you're looking for safety around the social norms and you're outside of social norms, you're going to be looking endlessly. And quite honestly, it might sound harsh, but it's hopeless. So my invitation to you is just to remove that completely and to step into your light and assert yourself with this warrior quality, because to work with the ancestors and to work with trauma, you need to be a warrior. You need to have courage and you need to be able to be bold and keep your chest up and shine your light no matter what happens, because there are dark things that come up when you work with trauma or even just saying the ancestors. It's like I can feel the ground underneath me kind of moving just even saying it, right? And so there is something there that's like, I would invite you to like harness that and then use that as a sense of like moving forward with potency. So yeah, also the South Node is coming to the Saturn and the Pluto, and there's some other things going on there that's really potent. It's also that the South Node is going to get close to your IC. So it's more about the ancestors and like really drawing out the gunk or the druvia, we call it, that's like holding you back from what came through the ancestry. Also being mindful that it's not just you. And so whenever this thing's having to do with the ancestors, it is not me, it is we. And so if I carry it as if it is me, but it's we, then what am I doing? I'm overloading myself when I don't need to do that, because there's things that happened in the past and there's also ancestors that are already in the future that we can call on for support. So I would invite that to come in. That might have been a lot, but appreciate
it. That is a lot, and it's all powerful and extremely beautiful and relevant to so many people who are listening and very much in the chart. And I really appreciate hearing those reflections.
And actually, I love that you said that, because that's the perfect segue into KJ's comment. KJ says, thank you, Kristen, for asking. I'm Kristen with K, born the same year, one day later, different time zone, struggling with the same question and have been exploring these themes. I can just rotate.
Nah, I love that.
Cool.
I wonder if what KJ...
rotate, right? Yeah, so I just wanted to address, there was a question in the chart that, or in the chat that was just really general, like, what about a chart in Africa and a chart in America or something like that, right? So this is one of the gifts of relocational astrology. It's a good time to just speak to that, because as Cameron and I were both focusing on in on the ascendant, or we could focus on the midheaven, like in any moment in, oh, well, let's say in Kenya, there's a very different ascendant than what's happening here in California. And, you know, it will often be daytime there and nighttime here, or vice versa, right? So the energy shifts significantly. So I love that you wrote, I can just rotate, Kristen, which tells us of your kind of advanced astrological knowledge. But that's the truth. Like, just as the earth rotates and the hours of the clock rotate, the chart rotates in time. And also when we go from in a moment of time from one place to another. So the way that I would address kind of the career themes for you, Kristen, probably would look very differently, because your ascendant's going to be different. The midheaven's going to be different, like planets that I see most representative of career for you. And yet you're still born into that same moment. And how fascinating to hear that you're having a similar experience at this time.
Right. Beautiful. I love it.
And we're coming at time, so we might not be able to get to another question, but again, if you guys would like to book a reading with either Cameron or Brett, you can go to astrologyhub.com/connect. And again, use the code April 20 when you book your reading and you get that 20% off. And you can book that reading whenever, you still get that 20% off. But before we go, I
do have like a Joe, what's yours? astrologyhub.com/joeconnect.
Oh yeah, that's true. I do have a link too. It's astrologyhub.com/JoeConnect. You can also book a reading with me.
Yeah, Joe, I really appreciate you hosting this, but there's been four times along the way where I'm like, Joe, what do you think? Right? So Joe, she's a great astrologer you can book sessions with also. And well, what a joy to connect with you two friends here in this way with all the people out in the crowd. I think Astrology Hub's just doing such a wonderful thing to bring astrologers from many different walks and ways together. And it's so nice to have this opportunity to connect individually with people in the community. I've been having a really wonderful time meeting folks and honored to tune into your soul song with you in these chart sessions. So I look forward to much more and hope we could do this again. This has been a really good time.
Yeah, it's been a blast.
Yeah.
I do have like a parting question to help kind of like everybody who didn't get their question answered or anyone who might be curious and like along those themes. And I'll ask Cameron first and then I'll go Brett because I'll stick to the theme. So Cameron, so for people who didn't get their questions about health answered right now, what is like considering the astrology that's happening in the moment, what is the one thing that you would ask them to focus on, or like one little activity that they can do to kind of help support them through these times?
Yeah, absolutely. So I just casted a chart for the moment that you asked the question, just so I could just make it easier for myself and everyone else. So one thing I would say is that the moon is in applying a trine to Neptune. So just be mindful, especially since we're in between eclipse period, right? Just allow yourself to like open up to divine truth and understanding through not knowing what's going to come next necessarily. So that's something that's really, really big. And also since the moon's in Cancer, one of my favorite tips to give everyone. So if you come to a reading with me, I'll probably tell you again, but just sip hot water and feel that energy move through your body, right? So even thinking about the moon being in a trine to Neptune, it's like sipping that hot water, especially because the moon just left Mars too. So sipping that hot water and just like feeling the energy flow and feel how easy it is. It's so much easier to just let the energy move and flow and to follow it rather than to try to control it and tell it what to do or think that I should know where to go with these things. So that's what I would say. And also checking on your nervous system, because right now Virgo is on the ascendant. If you can, just like when we're done with this, open invitation for everybody to just put your hands on your stomach, breathe for 2 to 5 minutes. And then also in the comments later on, come back and tell me how that felt for you. That's what I would say. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much. All right, Brett, now it's your turn. So in the topic of relocation, for anyone who wants to travel or is thinking of moving far away or even close by to, is there any transit in particular or anything going on in the sky right now that you think that would be worth paying attention to?
Well, I mean, it's so personal, right? Because any of these mundane transits, you know, how they play in my chart versus yours would either kind of say green light or perhaps like wait a bit, you know, yellow light. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just general elections is be careful during eclipse season, which we're in. And, you know, Pluto's just changed signs and things might be a little bit rocky. But I mean, it's rare. It's actually more common in maps than anywhere else in my practice where I might say, oh, be a little careful in that place, or maybe it's not the right time. Or, you know, I just actually checked in with a client and it was, hey, oh my gosh, she's an actress and this looks like a really wonderful place for you to get a role in that. And then she came back and she said that she had a really good, you know, like interview, that's the wrong word in that field, but whatever. But that also she got in a car accident. And there was a piece I saw on the map that I didn't necessarily say something about. So I'm not necessarily answering that question. I'm not sure that I have an answer to that question. I think that you'll know when it's time to go check out a place. A move is something maybe we'll want to be a little bit more intentional about. But using the tools of astrology, like if you learned how to, you know, look at your transits, for example, well, those might tell you at times where and when to go. And it's so personal and unique to a person's particular chart. I don't think I can answer that clearly without looking at particular examples. I will say that I did a kind of long teaching on many different astrolocality topics for Astrology Hub sometime. I think you can find it at their site. That's like, if you're a student, you can kind of deep dive into astrocartography and the geodetic map and local space. And I will say for anyone, like the prize jewel, as far as I'm concerned, of relocation is the relocated chart, just casting the chart for the exact same moment of your birth, but shifting it to the time zone of the place that you're looking to go, or trying to, you know, remember why this thing seemed to be the nature of a place where you once lived or whatever that is. So yeah, sorry to be so random in my answer, Joe, but it's
not at all. That actually takes me to like a different question. And for anyone wondering how to get to that locational astrology course that Brett is talking about, the link is astrologyhub.com/location. So astrologyhub.com/location. And my follow-up question was, if anyone is looking to book a reading for you specifically for relocation, like beyond having like the specific place that they want to go, is there anything that you recommend kind of doing some like thinking about, or any preparatory work that they can do to really maximize on that time with you?
Yeah, so it's super helpful. I mean, especially in the shorter readings, if you just write in the intake form when you book, that's your interest in focusing mostly on location. I'll say I never only do maps. Like it always starts for me in the natal chart, you know, trying to get a sense for who you are, that it helps that we can have a conversation. You can tell me more about that, where you are, you know, as a being in timings now. But it's very helpful with charts to say like, hey, I'm considering moving to these three places. Or I really want to know why my time in Puerto Rico is so weird, or, you know, things like that. Or do you have a recommendation of a few places at this time, like for travel or for discovery or for moving? And if I'm moving, I always ask this, what are you moving away from? And what are you moving towards? Right? Because maybe you don't feel like you have community where you live and nobody's into this weird stuff that we're into, and where might that be? And so if I'm relocating for like finding places where your circle seems like really available to you, that's like a different thing than if I'm relocating for, you know, partnership potential or something like that. So it's just the more specific you can be always in question. I used to be afraid of that as an astrologer. It's like, let's just keep it general, you know, and the more astrology we learn, the more kind of we fine tune it. And now it's really helpful for me. When people come with very specific questions, it just kind of helps the portal open up, like, I don't know, with more direction.
Perfect. All right. Thank you so much. With that, guys, I think we are at time. Oh, yeah, of course. Of course. Go for
okay,
it.
Cool. Everybody be mindful wherever the last, where this last eclipse hit and then where the next one's going to hit. Whenever there's squares to those eclipses throughout the next 6 months, also, I would invite people to watch their diet. And then one of my teachers says, fast on the heavy and feast on the light. So light things could be like eating like food, whether that like there could be a salad maybe, but it also could be like having a soup that is like light to digest. So also be mindful, not just thinking light, like eating like a rabbit, but something that's light and can like be metabolized more easily. So I would throw it in there too.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Sweet. And if you don't know how to check the squares and all of these other astrological terms, you know who to hit up. We're all here for you. All right. So with that, I think that is all, guys. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a blast. Last bonanza live of the month, but there's still a couple days left of the promo. So please do use it. All right. I'll see you on the next side. Bonanza is actually my favorite word that came out of this month.
All right,
guys.
Love y'all.
See ya. Bye-bye.